everyone. Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of August 26th. I am your co-host, Michael Saley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and cricket farmer, Melissa Hansen.
They're not here on my end. They're on your end, dude.
I'm hearing them in my headset. I thought they were coming from you.
They're coming from you.
Oh, well, I do have my window open. So they're echoing through. They're my crickets. Never mind. How has your weekend? What has your weekend entertainment been like?
Well, I was one of, I guess, not that many people, even though I thought I was one of many, you know, it looks like my friends on Facebook, but I saw The World's End.
Edgar Wright's The World's End, yes.
Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, Nick Frost.
Yeah.
Yes. The friends on a pub crawl, but then maybe it's the end of the world. It opens with this, like, prologue, and it's these, like, five young guys, like, the day they graduate. High school, whatever it is in England.
Yeah.
Smaller little town, you know, outside London.
Sure.
Kind of thing. Anyhow, and they're led by, like, the main guy, Gary. Anyhow. So they're going to do the Golden Mile, which is 12 pubs, one night.
Oh,
they don't quite make it. And it was the best night of, like, Gary's life. So here we are 20 years later kind of thing. And it's get the band back together.
Okay.
He convinces them all to go back. And we're going to do the Golden Mile this time.
All right.
And there's all this stuff between them. You know, all these things that have happened.
Oh, like personal relationship kind
personal
of
relationship yeah, yeah. stuff. And, you know, dealing with that. And he's never grown up, and they all, you know, are respectable members of society. And they're all like, how did he talk us into this?
Jeez.
Anyhow, so they're doing, so we're dealing with, it's hysterically funny.
Okay.
Lines, but we're dealing with some serious personal issues too. So there's some more touching stuff throughout it and all that. And then all of a sudden they realize things are a little bit different about the people in this town.
How so?
And it's, it's like, are they aliens? Are they zombies? Are they robots? There's something hinky going on, they realize.
Okay.
So all of a sudden, it becomes this, not technically zombie, but like that.
Okay.
Like a Zomcom movie.
All right.
It's this kind of almost coming of age thing at the beginning. And then it becomes the whole, like, kind of road trip movie.
All right.
And it becomes a Zomcom movie.
Oh, my God.
But it's hysterical.
Oh, good.
It's hysterically funny. But then there's this, and it's not just me, because yeah. there's other people are talking about, there's an epilogue at the end.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fit in a way.
Oh.
My sitting there watching it, I was like, oh, yeah, they should have just cut the movie before.
Oh,
and
no.
About it, there were some things in it that made sense and some lessons and, you know, we find out, like, that everybody's okay and, you know, so we're not worried about people. I see the reasoning for it.
Okay.
I don't think it, well, not think, it doesn't completely work.
Oh, that's too bad.
And it's not completely ruining the movie at all. It's
all right.
Totally, you can overlook it.
Okay.
It's, you know, some of those movies that the ending can make it or break it.
That's
whatever.
True.
This is like, eh, I wouldn't have done that, but it doesn't matter. So, and in time, I'm liking it more and more as I think about it. So if you watch it and you're like, what was that? Just, like, give it some time, maybe.
Well, I was very tempted because Thursday night, the Regal Cinema here in Portsmouth was doing the triple feature. So they were doing Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and World's End.
Got it.
But I wound up with rehearsal stuff and everything. I
yeah.
couldn't make it work.
That's a lot of yeah. movies to watch.
Yeah.
But no, so if you, obviously, if you are fans of the other ones.
Yes.
Like, and I don't get this whole, like, trilogy thing. They're calling it a trilogy, which it's not, because it's not the same characters. It's
no.
not the same story. It's not anything.
No.
It's just some of the same. And I'm like, that's not a trilogy. This is just the kind of movies they make.
Right.
They work together, and they make movies. So are they not allowed to make any more because the trilogy's over?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Well, then they made that comic, the Comic-Con movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't.
Alien.
Whoever's calling this a trilogy needs to stop.
Yeah.
Because I think it's detrimental. Anyhow, if you are fans of the first
two films
done together,
yes,
yeah, go see this.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, and even if you're not, it's just it's funny. And if you can go to a theater where you can have a pint,
yeah,
like watching them have pints like I did, even better.
Ooh. Nice.
So.
Well, I finished up Netflix, Orange is the New Black. And damn, is it fantastic.
Okay, I watched the first two episodes so far.
Okay, well, you are in for a hell of a ride.
Yeah.
Because this cast from top to bottom will continue to amaze you. And the writing, I did not even bother to. I need to go back and take a look at the writing credits to see who was involved. And
well, it's, I'm blanking on her name. She's got a little funky name. Who did Weeds?
Yes. So she created this, right?
Yeah.
But she has a team of writers who are working on this. And it's just the storytelling, the way they tease out
Genji Kohan.
Yes. Little pieces of each character's background without giving us a whole exposition, mm-hmm. but it's just enough to make us understand what makes some of these people tick. It's so well done. And the performances are phenomenal. Now, what disturbs me is that we heard that Laura Prepon, from That 70s Show, has been removed from the cast for season two, which I find disturbing in a way, but it's another question. Once you get through it, you'll understand, like, where are they going to take this character now?
Yeah.
So.
That'll be interesting.
Wow.
I just looked up really quick on IMDb.
Yes.
There are some other writers, but Genji wrote all the episodes. Her and Piper Kerman.
Yes.
They wrote everything.
And it was based off a book that I believe Piper wrote.
Yeah. So she is credited. Now, how much did she write and how much did Genji just adapt what she had already written?
Yeah.
I don't know. But the two of them are credited in every episode, and then there's a few other writers are only credited with like two episodes each.
Well, and it just goes to confirm that the way we are watching television now, this is the future of how television is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're all going to be better off for it. The networks are going to hate it, but damn it, if we're not going to get better writing and better quality programming because of it.
All right.
So go watch it. And I have to now. I have to start House of Cards because everybody's telling me I have to watch that.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that was me. And then we closed on Golden Pond this week, which was a great experience, less one very bizarre moment, which I will leave on the cutting room floor.
That's mean to all of us.
Well, let's just say that the some people aren't quite how you make them out to be. You expect a person to be a certain way, and when they turn out to be something different...
Mm-hmm.
It kind of throws you.
Yes.
And I should know this because, I mean, having spent almost 7 years in Los Angeles, this happened all the time.
Nobody is what you think they are out there.
Although I do have to say there were a couple of people. George Clooney is exactly who you expect him to be.
Name dropper.
Sorry. But I'm going to single him out because he's truly a genuinely honest, good, hilariously funny guy.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? Talking about that, let's do a quick break into news, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
And we can go back.
Okay.
Affleck is going to be Batman.
Oy.
Okay, everybody can cry and weep and you know, throw themselves on the ground over this.
Yes.
And stuff I'm reading is like, oh, he's light and he's funny and he's blah, 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 and he doesn't have a darkness and he doesn't have a seriousness and he doesn't. Now, they're so wrong.
Yes.
Because Now, Don Mornay, you've met Benji.
Yes.
And when he was directing Argo.
Yes.
You were on set.
Yes.
And he is dark and he is serious.
He is ultra serious. I mean, this guy does not... The persona that you see with him in like the Kevin Smith movies and stuff like that is not the persona that he presents when he's working.
Mm-hmm.
This man is drop-dead serious and don't distract him because he's focused on what he wants to do and get done.
Mm-hmm.
And
there should be some negative words used.
Oh, of course there can be.
Now, when you're, again, working on a project like that, and that's your focus, you know, other things you don't care so much about and you can come off as very gruff.
True. Very true. And I'm curious to see because they've just announced the release of an extended version of Argo, which I'm hoping will be include the scenes for the entire day that we shot that never even made it into the film.
You have to let us know.
Yeah, I'm curious
to
see.
And see.
But I mean, this is also the man who did Gone Baby Gone and The Town, and you know, there is a seriousness to him that he can play. Now, let's take it back. Okay, we saw Daredevil, which was terrible, terrible movie. And he played the superhero as good as he could at that time.
Right.
Now, Benji is also an actor who you know who you're going to get. I mean, right. He is not a Gary Oldman that changes his skin from one character to the next. Mm-hmm. He is Ben Affleck in each of these movies, mm-hmm. to varying degrees of shades of gray and all this kind of stuff. Warner Brothers has signed him to a multi-film deal for this, which will allow him to not only shape the character mm-hmm. for Zack Snyder's 2015 Superman, Batman, summer right. movie, blockbuster, but as well as a possible standalone film before they get to the inevitable Justice League movie, which rumor has it he has an option to direct.
Ooh.
So I think this was all part of the package.
Yes.
Let's face it, Warner Brothers has had great success with Ben films, so they're not going to, you know, if they're grooming him to be the next kind of Clint Eastwood actor-director, they're going to hold on to him and do whatever they can to keep him in-house.
Right.
So I think they sweetened this pot for him to get him to do this, because they were going after him for a Justice League movie long before any of this other Batman stuff came
right.
up. And I guess this has been in negotiations top secret for quite some time. This wasn't
I'm
a spontaneous
sure. yeah,
thing.
Yeah, this didn't happen overnight. And of yeah. course, somebody offers you the role of Batman.
I mean, please. What are you going to turn it down?
Like, always be yourself, yeah. unless you can be Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. and let's face it. I mean, one of his best friends is Kevin Smith, who is a massive comic book fan and a massive Batman fan, who has written, you know, several arcs of mm-hmm. the character. So it's kind of a win-win situation, even though I think they could have gone many different ways with the character.
Right.
And even though I joked the fact that I'm hoping for a Blunt Man and Chronic cameo in the movie, it'll be interesting to see. But I still think that this film, if it's not done right, is going to just be terrible.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't a big fan of the Man of Steel
movie.
I don't
know if that's going to be all on Affleck if it is.
No,
either.
And it can't be. It can't possibly. Nor was Man of Steel's fault at the feet of Henry Cavill. I mean,
right.
it's Zack Snyder, who did 300 and Watchmen, who he's a very visual storyteller, but I don't think he understands what makes characters work.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know. He may suck. He may be really interesting.
You know,
I'm going to hold off commenting on it.
But if you remember,
I see it.
When Michael Keaton was announced by Tim Burton yep. to play Batman, everyone went bananas.
Oh, I'm sorry. And same thing. Heath Ledger is the Joker?
Right.
Everybody thought that was going to be crap, too.
Right. So just wait. We'll
okay.
see what happens. All right, rewind back to a very, you know, we're speaking about a box office of what could be. Well, the summer is definitely over because the box office that is nothing.
Yeah, you all ain't seeing nothing.
Yeah.
The Butler was number one again. Yeah. Lee Daniels, the Butler.
Right, exactly.
Sorry.
Yes.
Was number one again, but with 17 million.
Paltry.
I can't remember the last time I said that for number one. I've been saying that for, like, you know, number five.
Well, and this
isn't
even its first week. This is the third week.
Yeah, so it's made over $50 million total.
Yeah.
But Where the Millers is hanging in there, number two, $13.5 million. The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones.
Yes.
$9.3 million. The World's End, $8.9
million.
That's not so good. But and Planes is rounding it out with $8.5 million.
And I'm wondering if Disney is just happy because they were originally going to release that direct to DVD and decided to bring it to the theaters.
Yeah, so it's made almost $60 million.
Yeah.
So
the horror flick that everyone has been talking about on social media is called You're Next, which opened this week and it made $7 million.
Yeah.
And then Kick-Ass 2, which was supposed to be one of the final big movies of the summer, then $4 million. It hasn't even made $22 million in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that just totally belly flopped.
Yeah, not good. And there's nothing really to look forward to next week. A Wednesday night opening of Stephen Knight's crime thriller Closed Circuit.
Okay.
On Friday, we have Kristen Bell in The Lifeguard.
I want to see that. That really looks interesting.
Does it?
Yeah, it looks really interesting.
Okay.
Not at all from, like, the poster.
No.
The current Baywatch suit.
Yeah.
Like, that has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
I go watch the trailer for it.
All right,
I guarantee you'll be intrigued.
movie I did see the trailer for, Ethan Hawke and Selena Gomez try to escape John Voight in The Getaway.
Good Lord.
Which takes place in a car. The whole film takes place in a car.
What was that name of the damn Charlie Sheen one? Christy Swanson.
Oh, you're right. Was it The Runaway? No.
No.
I'm going to look it up as we keep talking here.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. Because it was something like that.
Yes, you're right, and I completely forgot about that, because that was
the whole thing, like
late
almost
80s.
He was like a convenience store gas station, and
yes.
He ended up kidnapping her with like a candy bar.
You think it's a remake?
And then,
oh, that would be really weird if that was
The Chase. Is
the
that
Chase,
it?
Yes, before
That's
Christy
it.
Swanson got fat.
Hey,
sorry.
Now.
Just yeah.
You get older, you have babies, this is what happens. She's still a beautiful woman.
Yes.
Yeah, but that whole one was like, you know, like three-fourths of it was in the car.
Very similar, right.
All right.
The other movie that opens this week is Brian De Palma's thriller Passion, starring Rachel McAdams and Nomi Rapace as they play a game of corporate cat and mouse between an executive and her protege, which could be interesting. Although De Palma, remember when we went to see Black Dahlia? Oh,
yeah. Oh, that was
so
bad. That was really, not good.
Oh. So I don't know what happened to him, but we'll see if he can redeem himself with this one.
Okay.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we've got Leonardo DiCaprio and The Great Gatsby from Baz Luhrmann, which I have not seen, but it is sitting here and I need to watch it.
No, that's one I do want to see, but I was waiting for DVD.
Yeah. A lot of TV on DVD this week. Elementary, season 1.
Really good show.
Walking Dead, season 3. Sons of Anarchy, season 5. And Grey's Anatomy, season 9.
Okay.
Also, there's another Disney Blu-ray release, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, the original one. Over at Redbox this week, we've got Scary Movie 5, which I'm sure you can pass, according to Patrick Noggle. It's painful beyond belief. James McAvoy in Trance. We've got the Francis Ford Coppola thriller Twixt with Elle Fanning and Val Kilmer. What a weird combination that is.
Huh.
And then House Party, basically the next generation, where Kid and Play actually play the parents.
Nice.
It's called Tonight's the Night.
I love it.
Yeah. Too bad Robin Harris has since passed away, because he could have been the grandpa.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. Baby's kids. Over at Netflix, Mike Birbiglia, who This American Life frequent guest who did Sleepwalk with Me, he has a new film called My Girlfriend's Boyfriend, which is all about failed romantic relationships.
He's funny.
He's so damn funny.
Oh my gosh. And just his voice during the readings.
Yeah.
A lot like Sedaris and stuff, like his voice.
Very deadpan.
He tells these stories, makes it like even more interesting.
Yeah. An old movie that I don't even remember anything about. Dwayne Johnson, Sean William Scott, and Christopher Walken in The Rundown.
Oh, yeah. That was one of those movies.
Okay. I don't remember it. Maybe I blocked it out. Donnie Darko is back on Netflix this week, which I still have not seen. I have to watch it.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm way behind the times.
Jeez Louise. This is your homework for the week.
Yeah.
Not allowed. Do not come back to the next podcast. Without a report on Donnie Darko.
All right. Well, that'll be my entertainment for next week then. And then there's a bunch of Mystery Science Theater classics, which are either there for the first time or have come back after being gone for a while. Gamera, which is so freaking hilarious. One of the early season Joel Hodgson episodes. Pod People, which is also the movie itself is beyond belief in terms of how bizarre this thing is. And then Soul Taker, which was one of the later Sci-Fi Channel episodes, but this is where Joel returns to the show after being gone for several years.
Okay.
So mini classic in and of itself. Over at Hulu, Criterion has a whole bunch of their labeled World Cinema Collection films from directors that I'm not personally familiar with, but World Cinema is not exactly in my wheelhouse. The Housemaid, Law of the Border, Dry Summer, and Revenge are just four of the... I think there's 8 new Criterions up this week. The UFO documentary, The Phoenix Lights, which was about a series of... Almost all of the city of Phoenix saw this in 1997. Where there were like 5 different unidentified crafts in the sky at a certain point. And This was a 2004 documentary in which they go and try and figure out what the heck was going on there. We've got William Catt and Tony Todd and Jerome Bixby's sci-fi fantasy Man from Earth, which is about an English professor who, upon his retirement, reveals the fact that he's an immortal who's 14,000 years old.
Okay, then.
And then, I know you've been waiting for this, Michael Madsen and Eric Roberts team up for the L.A. gangster film Beyond the Trophy.
Oh, yes.
Both of whom look like they're ready for the nursing home right now. And that's all over at Hulu, and that's all I've got for streaming this week.
All right. TV this week, Monday night, The Glades and Longmire on A&E have their season finales. And Tuesday, A&E, Storage Wars is in Texas.
Ooh.
This time, how exciting.
Your neighborhood?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't care. Also Tuesday, it's the season finale of Pretty Little Liars on ABC Family. Wednesday, Discovery Channel. Patrick Dempsey, Racing Le Mans. Because Patrick Dempsey, who we all know as Dr. Dreamy, or as Ronald, delivering pizzas, and being what, a male whore?
Lover, right? Boy.
Oh, no, that wasn't. Ronald was in...
Oh, was, You Can't Buy Me
Love.
Can't
Buy Me Love, yeah. That's right.
What was his name in Boy. Lover Boy? Still, Lover Boy is a classic piece of 80s cheese.
With okay, Nick anyhow.
Anyways.
Hung with being an actor, whether you know him from Grey's or know him from his wonderful 80s movies.
Yeah.
He's a race car driver. So anyhow, new show on Discovery about him racing cars.
Nice.
All right. Thursday, Hollywood Game Night finale. And if you have not watched the show, go to Hulu. Watch it.
Shut up.
It is flippin' hysterical.
Oh, my God.
This is produced by Sean Hayes. And it's, he has, the story goes that he has all of his famous friends over at his house and they drink and they play like charades and party games.
Really?
Right? So he put this out there to network, like, yeah, let's do a show. So they did it. So it's Jane Lynch hosts it.
Oh, my God.
You get two, quote, regular people.
Okay.
And then, like, six celebrities from, like, all across the board.
All right.
And they play, like, party games on TVs.
But, like I said before, Bert Convy did this with, like, win, lose, or draw, right? Didn't we?
Yeah,
have...
but it's not drawing stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's guessing. I mean, some of it's, like, humming songs, and some of it's, charades. But some of it's, like, my favorite one. They take stills from movies.
Yeah.
And they replace the actors' faces with, like, cats. And you have to guess the movie.
Oh, my God.
And then there's one that's, like, snacks. They show you close-up pictures of, like, candy bars and other snacks, and you have to guess what it is. It sounds so stupid, but it's freaking Jane Lynch doing it.
All right.
It's hysterical.
Are there illegal substances required to find this hilarious?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they do enough of that, I think, on set.
Okay.
Anyhow, Thursday night's the finale on NBC. Right. So if you haven't watched it before, you can watch this. And it has been renewed. Yeah. So it will be coming back sooner or later.
Right.
Saturday night, BBC America has a special, Doctor Who, The Doctors Revisited. And it's going to go back through all however many we're at right now.
Yep.
And then Sunday nights, we have that MJA telethon.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, ABC is running it some Sunday night.
But I don't think Jerry Lewis is involved anymore, is
he? No, he's not.
He stepped aside, yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, that will be on, like I said, Sunday evening on ABC.
Okay.
For a bit. And then NBC Sunday night has a special, TV's Funniest of the Funniest, Paley Center for Media special. Oh. So anyhow, I'll go through all the classic sitcoms.
Okay.
On television.
Well, the Paley Center does an excellent job of those types of things.
Yeah. So that is what is on this week.
All right.
In music, Big Sean has album called Hall of Fame out. Mm-hmm. Franz Ferdinand is out. Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Action.
And that single is awesome, I have to say, because it's one of my favorite tunes on rotation right now.
Cool. Country fans. Alabama and Friends. So they got all of their friends who happen to be, you know, Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan and Kenny Chesney and Toby Keith and Rascal Flatts, Christian Yearwood to come record songs with them.
All right.
So that is out. Jartha Clay have a new one.
Oh.
Called Inland. And Belle and Sebastian's new one out, Third Eye Center. Cool. And then Hands on a Hard Body, the original Broadway cast recording. We haven't had many of those lately. They all came out before the Tonys. Okay. But that is one for you Broadway fans. Kathy Riche.
Yes.
Number 16 in the Temperance Brennan series.
Holy crap.
It's called Bones of the Lost.
Okay.
So my mother will be reading that very soon, and then I will be borrowing it.
There you go.
Ann Perry, the William Monk series, number 19. Hmm. And that's called Blind Justice. There is a special edition Harry Potter box set out this week.
Really?
It's paperback. It's like $100, and there's all kinds of cool illustrations and special stuff like that. In it, The Gentleman from Illinois, Stories from 40 Years of Elective Public Service. Alan J. Dixon, who is a lawyer and politician in Illinois, and he was served in the House and the Senate and then the U.S. Senate and Secretary of State, and like he has just been in Illinois politics pretty much forever.
Okay.
So anyhow, his memoir is out. And then there's a memoir of Gloria Swanson.
Oh.
Or a biography of Gloria Swanson, The Ultimate Star by Stephen Michael Scherer. Hmm. And Let Me Be Frank, My Life at Virginia Tech. Frank Beamer, who is, I love how they credit him. What? Winningest active head coach in Division I college football.
There you go. Yep.
But anyhow, so I'm told he's pretty famous.
All right.
So there. All right. Theater news.
Yep.
A Night with Janis Joplin is coming to Broadway.
Oh, they've talked about this for a long time.
Yeah. Mary Bridget Davies, she's been doing it for a while in other theaters. It's going to be at the Lyceum.
Okay.
September 20th.
Yep.
Previews, and then it officially opens October 10th.
Okay.
So all you big Janis fans will want to check that out. I mean, it's gotten amazing reviews. So since we can't see her, this will be a next best thing.
Right. Well, since we're talking theater and since we always start off with a death notice.
Yeah. Can we please stop that?
Yeah. People? Just stop dying, people. Star of stage and screen, the lovely Miss Julie Harris has passed from East of Eden and Requiem for a Heavyweight to Knott's Landing and The Belle of Amherst. This Michigan native, which I didn't realize. She grew up in Grosse Pointe. She garnered 5 Tonys, 3 Emmys, a Grammy, was a Kennedy Center honoree, and a National Merit Scholar of the Arts. She also was nominated for an Oscar for her role in A Member of the Wedding, and it was a career that spanned like 7 decades.
Yeah.
So impressive and such a beautiful woman. She was 87. Died out here on the East Coast in Massachusetts of congestive heart failure. Steppenwolf actor, playwright, Tracy Letts is in talks with DreamWorks to write the 75th anniversary adaptation of John Steinbeck's Grapes of Wrath for producer Steven Spielberg.
Crap, will that be great?
A director has not yet been named, but Spielberg has already said he will not be directing.
Okay.
But what an honor for Tracy to take that on.
Yeah, but he was amazing. Like,
yeah.
No doubt. Because his stories are just modern-day versions.
Right.
Of that type of story.
Right. And it's interesting, too, because Steppenwolf, I think, did one of the first, if not the first, stage adaptations of Grapes of Wrath, which got them some serious theater award consideration. But this was years and years ago, and it was Gary Sinise who was involved in that. Not so surprising, J.J. Abrams has announced that he will be bringing along cinematographer Dan Mindell to shoot Star Wars Episode 7. Dan also shot Mission Impossible 3 and the 2 Star Trek films for J.J. And you're going to be hearing a lot of that. A lot of his normal people will be coming with him.
Yeah.
And that's not surprising. Harrison Ford was making the rounds for his movie, Paranoia, last week, and I was at the gym on the treadmill and watching. He bouncing from one morning show to the next. It was like going from one TV monitor. He just kept switching. And they were either asking him about Star Wars or Indiana Jones. And then he got so tired about answering stuff like that that he when the Today Show asked him about Indiana Jones, he spilled the beans that George is working on another script.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see.
The last one worked out so well.
We'll see what comes of that. Speaking of disasters in the making, True Blood's Stephen Moyer will be playing Captain Von Trapp in NBC's live production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Sound of Music.
He's got a theater background.
I know he does.
But the other thing is, this is a vehicle for Carrie Underwood.
I know, and that's what I was just going to say. She's starring as Maria.
Yeah, so that's the part I'd be more concerned about. I love her. I mean, I love her music. I just don't know if that's...
So this quote-unquote special presentation is set to air December 5th, and we've seen live presentations before, which have been awful, and this is just going to be an epic cluster mother of pearl, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be a disaster. I mean, why?
Probably.
There is no need to remake Sound of Music.
No.
I'm sorry.
Again, just play it. We all watch it whenever you play it.
Right, and I understand. It makes the theater rounds and regional theater, and everybody loves to go see it. That's great. That's one thing. But you don't need to do a live production on television.
No.
Well, whatever. Whatever. And speaking of George Lucas, he has, this past week, purchased $10 million in Starbucks stock.
Okay.
To shore up confidence in the coffee company, for which his wife, Melody Hobson, is a member of the executive board.
Well, there you go.
So there you go.
What a good husband.
I guess. Well, hey, he got $4 billion from Disney for selling Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
so.
He can do whatever he wants with money. Exactly. What a good husband.
There you go. There you go. And that's all I've got for news.
Okay. Well, my big, huge news was we got to see Northwest, finally. Kanye was on Chris's talk show and held up a picture. We didn't actually get to see the baby. We just got to see a picture of her. She's lovely. She's beautiful. Whatever.
She had a big booty.
We didn't see a booty part.
Oh, okay.
We saw the face part. Anyhow, lovely little baby, all that. Well, Lamar said, screw you, Kanye. I'm taking all the news.
Uh-oh.
Because, ready for this, and this is, I'm getting this from TMZ.
Okay.
So you can go get fuller coverage over there. But it looks like he has been kicked out of the home. Chloe has finally kicked him out. Because of his massive drug problem.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize
massive crack cocaine problem.
Holy
I guess
crap.
Come out, he actually went to... He's been in rehab like a year ago.
Okay.
We didn't know he held it together, you know, for the season. And when the season ended, back into doing drugs. So allegedly, all this is.
Yeah.
But the latest news is actually, like, he's missing.
Oh, boy.
Since Chloe kicked him out, like, nobody can reach him. And
so he's in some crack den somewhere.
Could be. So, anyhow, yeah, so that's all the big news. And like I said, TMZ has, like, six different stories about it.
Well, and he's kind of hard to miss. The dude's almost 7 feet tall, so.
So, anyhow. So, yeah, if this is all true, it's, you know, very sad for him, very sad for Chloe. Oh. Just, yeah. And also to... Well, I'm not helping this, but to be living all this personal nightmare out.
Yeah, in the media.
In the sky.
Social media, everywhere else. Yeah.
So, yeah. For her, too. Like, if her husband's really addicted and she's doing what she can to help him and her marriage is falling and all that. But just, yeah. Hmm. I mean, she chooses to be in the public eye most of the time. But this is the kind of stuff you want to be dealing with there. So, anyhow, hopefully... He's okay, and if this is all true, he can get better, and they'll be fine.
News at 11. Yep.
Yeah.
Do we have a contest this week?
We do have a contest. Yep. It is a documentary, Season of a Lifetime. Hmm. Speaking of sportsmen.
Yeah.
More inspirational, though. It's Jeremy Williams, who's a high school football coach.
Okay.
And he has ALS, Lou Gehrig's.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So anyway, the documentary is about him coaching his team through their winning season and dealing with his disease.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So our petty that problems, yeah, don't really compare.
Kind of, so.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for tuning in, as always. We appreciate you heading over to DVDverdict.com and reading our reviews. And until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Don't want to leave, but I might this time. Seconds from whispering goodbye.